you know, it is a very important time for Sonoma County with regard to this virus, and things are changing as we know. Really, I think it started last Wednesday, maybe into Thursday morning, where there seemed to be a real shift in terms of how important people became aware of this virus and how important their participation in the lack of spread of it became. So I know that Supervisor Zane, you have been talking this morning with Sonoma County's public health officer, Dr. Mays, and what do we know? We know first that there have been just three confirmed cases of coronavirus in Sonoma County. Has that number changed?
Not that I am aware of, no. I think what we're trying to do now is be as cautious as we possibly can, because as we have been saying all along, it's not a question of if we have communal spread. It is really a question of when, and that's why it's so important for members of the public to take the precautions, you know, to not really have those social gatherings that we are all very used to here at Sonoma County. I will give you an update on the schools. The schools are all, well, basically, Dr. Harrington recommended that the schools be closed for an additional week past spring break and extend that spring break. And as of now, the information is that 99% of those school districts have absolutely agreed. Whether it goes beyond the 2 weeks will no doubt depend upon how many more cases that we might see. But we do know also, Pat, is that if we look at our neighboring Bay Area counties, Santa Clara County has been the one with the most confirmed diseases.
Right.
And they've been taking a lot of great precautions, having worked with their healthcare officials for many years. I can say they're one of the best. And so we want to be prepared also, and we want to also expect that it will go beyond three. So again, it's really, people need to understand it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And so we have to do what we really call is disruptive in terms of our daily lives in order to protect everybody. And I think there's somewhat of a feeling that, oh, you know, if I'm younger, it's not a big deal. It'll be more like a flu virus cold, and I'll be able to weather through it. But people need to understand that what their actions may affect the life and well-being of somebody else. And
yeah,
we do have a high percentage of seniors that live in this county, and they are particularly exposed and vulnerable to this virus.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Certainly anybody with a compromised immune system and anybody with an underlying or chronic respiratory illness also at risk. I will add to this, Supervisor Zane, that we are expecting a press release later this afternoon from the Office of Education confirming that. There is this buffer of time, and Mayor Schwedhelm, feel free to jump in whenever you like, you know, with spring break scheduled for next week. That's the good news. And I know that teachers are scrambling to try to figure out how to teach kids when kids are at home. And that sort of brings all of this really is a domino effect. One thing affects every part of our community. And when you're talking about beyond spring break, having all of those kids at home, that could well affect our workforce as well, including those who work in the healthcare industry.
Yeah, and on that note, we just received something from Comcast that they are opening up Xfinity Wi-Fi network nationally for free, offering unlimited data for free, and confirms its commitment to connecting low-income families. So that's a very positive thing.
That is a very positive thing.
So very appreciative of their efforts on
yes,
that.
Yes, indeed, and happy to figure out that they've learned something after our wildfires. So good for them.
Right.
Better late than never.
Pat, let me just say that, you know, we have been doing more testing, and we've scheduled drive-through testing available if people have symptoms, et cetera, and we're going to expand that to Alliance and Petaluma Healthcare. So it is, we are getting testing through local commercial laboratories as well as our county laboratory. And so the fact that we're testing people and even taking on this kind of procedure where you test healthy people and non-healthy people, but people who may very well have the virus but don't know it yet.
Yeah.
It helps us to gather data is what we're doing. And again, I don't think this can be said enough, that we have a huge proportion of high-risk population, people that are over the age of 60, 65, and if you have any other type of illness in terms of a chronic illness, such as diabetes and heart disease, you need to pay very close attention to that. We did do a virtual town hall meeting on KRCB, but we will also be doing one on KBBF in Spanish on Tuesday. I want people to understand that they can get information online pretty much anytime by going to socoemergency.org. So that's like SoCo and then emergency.org. SOCO.
Yeah, very important portal for information.
And you can call 211 also if you need information. But be aware that 211 is not medical providers. They're not nurse. It's not a nurse advisory line like Kaiser has. So the information that you're going to get from 211 is more about information and referral. It's not medical advice. And if somebody is having any of those symptoms, they should absolutely not rush to the emergency room because that is not helpful. But to absolutely pick up the phone and call your doctor as soon as you have those symptoms.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the area of questions from our citizenship, which is, okay, who's getting tested? Why are we not getting tested if we have the symptoms and just how all of that works? We've got 500,000 people here in this county, and we know that testing is being expanded at this point. But I'm wondering how much testing has to take place before our community takes a more thorough turn in terms of life changes that we have to make. And when might we get that information? For example, with this expanded testing since last Thursday, when will we be armed with that information so we can make a better decision about what to do next?
Well, we have been waiting, as most people know, for the federal government to catch up in terms of having the ability to test.
Yeah, and they are.
And they are. They're beginning to catch up. So we will continue to test, and we can test. And now we have local private laboratories that are assisting us, the Department of Health. Anytime you have those flu-like symptoms, you can absolutely get a test. In terms of testing everybody at this point, that is not possible.
Yeah. Not workable.
It's not. However, let's say you have been exposed to somebody at high risk. You know, you came back from China or Italy, which probably it hasn't happened in the last 2 weeks. But let's say you were exposed in some way. You should absolutely be tested. Anyone who has been exposed to the virus.
Yeah. And I think the sort of overall question with regard to this is, how will we know? How will we know until more people are tested? And Mayor Swedhelm, I know that the city of Santa Rosa has certainly changed the way that it conducts business and also public affairs and public events. And was that out of an abundance of caution? And how will the city conduct the people's business at this point?
So what the city has been doing, we've been in constant communication with our county health officials and the state. And so when Governor Newsom declared the emergency, we're basically following the letter of the law. So the whole social distancing, earlier this week when I went into the mayor's conference room and even our council chambers, we've mapped out this is where how close people can sit there. So we've installed a lot of those different protocols. And with the governor's order also, we are having a council meeting on Tuesday, but we're only doing essential items. And they've also waived, if some of my colleagues on the council would rather call in than appear at the council chambers, they're allowed to
do that
without having some of the normal Brown Act things where you'd have to post, let's say I wanted to do it from my house.
Right.
I'd have to post that it's a public meeting. People could come in my house to watch me during this public meeting.
Yeah.
They waived that because that's really
well,
not
that's
practical.
Good.
Yes.
I'm glad there are some practical acknowledgments here.
We really are trying to make a common sense approach to this. So,
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. I was just going to add to that, Tom, that and it's great to have a mayor that's been the chief of police who understands the chain of command, military command, whenever you're talking about disasters. The healthcare officer, each healthcare officer of our 58 counties has the authority to make these orders. So our healthcare officer has made a mandate, an order, that you cannot have mass gatherings of 250 individuals. But then there are some very strong recommendations also that it should be, that if at all possible, you should avoid any type of gathering of 10 or more people. So we have to be as disruptive to our lives as possible right now in order to have the highest level of prevention.
Yeah, and impact on the what the eventual outcome will be. This is preventative. This is preventative, and I'm not sure that a lot of the public understands that because with these new rules and regulations and these restrictions that we are under so far, it tends to inspire certainly some wariness, and in a lot of cases we're looking around and seeing now, panic. I don't know if either of you have been to the grocery store in the last week or so, but
I haven't.
Yeah, I would suggest that you don't, because it is not a pleasant experience, and we understand people wanting to be prepared, and they should be, for the possibility of being at home for 14 days or so. That's what the docs are telling us, but there is overkill going on in our community and many others, and what do you have to say, each of you, to stem that tide?
You know, for me, I saw some of those videos too posted on social media at the Target store with just empty shelves.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage people to do what the city of Santa Rosa, we're doing a common sense approach to this. I don't think there's need for panic, but just be prepared for it. But that doesn't mean buying up all the paper products.
Exactly.
You know, in the 12 square mile area.
Which is some of what's happening out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think some of that leads to other people. Well, if my neighbor's doing it, then I need to do
right.
it. Let's just take a deep breath, follow these guidelines, and we all need to work together on this.
Yeah, because...
I agree. And from a sociological perspective, in terms of groups and fear, it's a very, very strong pull. And when somebody goes to the grocery store, they see all of their neighbors acting in a certain way, they're going to stop and say, well, maybe I should be doing the same thing too. So fear is a very potent emotion. It does tend to spread in groups like this. And we really need to kind of, gird ourselves, kind of put our feet in the ground, say, hey, how did we respond when we have these two wildfires and this flood? What did we do? We reached out to our neighbor. And this is a different type of potential disaster, but it's just as important to have that same consciousness that says, I'm going to assist my neighbor. I'm going to ask the woman who's 75 that lives next door to me if there's anything I can pick up to the at the store for her. You know, it's that type of caring for one another that really, really matters right now. And that whole phrase that we've all come to know and love so well, Sonoma Strong. Well, Sonoma Strong means that we acknowledge the vulnerabilities of the people who live in our community and we take care of them. So, just the message needs to be, Pat, is that, you should have enough canned goods and rice and beans and pasta and all, but you don't need to go to the grocery store and hoard. That's unnecessary.
That is exactly right. Take care of what you and your family need and leave the rest for somebody else's family. I mean, pretty soon you're going to have your neighbor knocking on your door and saying, hey, can you spare a square? And it's all about the toilet paper. Good Lord. Stop it, people. Stop it.
What is that? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, this is a respiratory virus.
Yeah, so it's not that kind of a virus, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
If I could just add one other thing, that it was rather significant with the public health officer's declaration. In other words, it's stronger than a suggestion. And I just want folks to know that although there it is enforceable. Like SRPD, and I'm sure the sheriff's office also would respond to some of those calls, but we're not looking at enforcement.
Yeah, yeah, please really don't hoping. Please don't call in and not call 911 and say somebody's cutting in front of me in the grocery store.
Or okay? Even just the public gatherings, you know, all the directions from the public health officer. We're hoping for the voluntary compliance. We'd probably go a civil direction. We're not looking at making this an arrest situation.
But and, it could yeah. be.
Oh, it definitely.
If designated to be a difficulty, it could be that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the public health officer has that authority, and it is enforceable. And we're hoping that voluntary compliance, again, working collaboratively together on this.
Common sense.
Yes, mm-hmm. that common sense again. And one of the other things, just talking to our police chief and fire chief earlier this week, they are limiting the type of calls for services they're going to. They're eliminating the ride-along programs. We're not doing community events because mm-hmm. we need our public mm-hmm. health officers to still be able to respond to those emergencies. You've read some other communities. I think San Jose had to quarantine 80 of their firefighters.
Yeah, you
we don't want
that.
Yes, yeah. We don't want that here.
No,
so.
We don't want that. Yeah.
And speaking of community gatherings, Supervisor Zane and Mayor Tom Schwedhelm with us this afternoon. The official word is 250 or less. Still, we wonder about some things. Restaurants, for example. I mean, we had Sonu Chandi in here yesterday afternoon talking about what restaurants are doing, but restaurants and health clubs, another big question for people. And people are still gambling at the casinos. That seems strange to me. Your response?
It seems strange to me, too. The people who tend to go to casinos are the people who are in that highly vulnerable population.
Yes.
So, of course, they are operated by a sovereign, independent nation. But I do believe even under the federal health code that they still have to comply with that. So, but it is a question that I've had in terms of communications with our health department and the casinos. So we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
It's certainly something we should be talking about and exploring. So,
an opportunity for the public to step forward and say, this doesn't seem like a good idea, an environment for me to be in. Maybe I'll just not do it, as opposed to being told it's not healthy for you to do so.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, there's a casino down in Livermore that's literally taking people's temperature as they go in.
Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation about civil liberties and things like that. But another circumstance, and we know that in addition to seniors and people with chronic health issues, the homeless population could be incredibly affected by this virus. And talk about group gatherings. There are about 60 of them at Los Gilicos Village right now, and I'm wondering if that is on the county's radar. Or Tom, yours?
Well, for us, because the California Department of Public Health issued some guidelines for shelter operations, and we have Sam Jones Hall, the largest shelter in the county, and so we're following all of those protocols to try to limit any exposure. And so again, we're taking that common sense approach. These are the guidelines put out by the Department of Public Health, and we're following them. We're not idly sitting by.
And I just I will just throw this in, Supervisor Zane, that San Francisco has just banned groups of 100 or more, 100 or more gathering, and they're banning that through the end of April. And that brings up a subject that a lot of people are talking about. The Surgeon General just said this morning that this circumstance with regard to the coronavirus is going to get worse before it gets better. And I think that we all should prepare ourselves for that. Would you agree?
There's no doubt. I mean, again, the message from our health department has been it's not a matter of if it becomes a community spread. It's a matter of when. And if we can learn any lesson from Italy and Spain that are overwhelmed right now with people who are critically ill, and by the way, Italy has more hospital beds per capita than we do, if we can learn anything from them, that lesson, that takeaway, is you must have a disruption in terms of those social gatherings. The restaurants are a hard one because we do not want to hurt our hospitality industry any more than they've already been hurt with these fires and these floods and the PG&E shutdown. But I do think if you go out to eat, you've got to absolutely practice the washing of the hands on a regular basis, and also that 6 feet of social distancing.
Yeah, I'm looking at Santa Rosa Mayor Tom Schwedhelm. He's got some experience in this area, and what do you have to say about this aspect of it?
One of the nice things, too, that people can do to help, because our businesses, I mean, I've got, we survived the PSPS, you know, and now we've got this. And what a lot of people do, go to the restaurants, buy the gift cards, you know, keep it and come back once we pass through this whole thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and also delivery is a good idea, a good way to support your local restaurant.
You know, when you also made the comment about it potentially getting worse, we were on a conference call with the White House earlier this week, and they talked about, so if X number of people are going to be exposed to this, it would be much better if it occurred over, like, say, 3 or 4 month period versus 3 or 4 week. So we have the capacity of that.
Right.
And again, that's where this community transmission, taking all these precautionary things, let's not get into the position that other countries have found themselves in, because we're being proactive about it.
And a lot of people have a lot of criticism about the way that this thing has been handled from the get-go, from the top on down. It seems to me, listening to and witnessing the conversations that the White House is having with its task force on coronavirus, they're getting it now. They're getting it. You can see that it's a much more cohesive circumstance between them, even though we saw the president shake hands with anything that moved during yesterday's press conference.
Absolutely. And I think that's an absolutely fair criticism, Pat. And I will say I have been for the last 7 years on the steering committee for health for the National Association for Healthcare, or National Association of Counties. And we've frequently been on conference calls with staff members from the CDC. And their budget was severely cut in the last 3 years by this administration. So I hope that in response to the pandemic that they restore that funding, because the prevention is far more economical than dealing with the disease full out. And Tom's right that one of the big issues here is not just the communication of the information and then the compliance of the public, but the other issue is having sufficient resources when people do get sick.
Yes, absolutely.
Having the healthcare providers and the hospital beds available. Yeah.
And one of the things that we saw, this is also great and very productive for us in this circumstance, is the bipartisanship that is finally happening in Washington, certainly with regard to this House bill. And that affects us in very specific ways when it comes to how the workforce will be tended to in terms of sick leave and paid sick leave and many issues. So it looks like that's going to be able to sail through and eventually affect our workers. But it is the workforce here in Sonoma County that is at risk, and thereby sort of more of our regular way of living and moving around in the county.
Yeah, it was very interesting yesterday during that press conference. So I'm in my office and having constant contact with the city manager. We're watching that press conference, which was unique in its own special way. But as the city manager and I are talking, so he's on conference calls with the other city managers of the other cities, because a lot of the smaller cities may not have the resources that, say, Santa Rosa does, and we're in constant contact with the county. So it was really interesting for me. So we're waiting to see what the national conversation is going to be, because that'll probably impact what the governor's going to do.
Yep.
Will impact what we're doing here at the local level. So try to keep that clear communication so all of us can be on the same page.
I will say it's been quite entertaining watching listening to the administration thank the governor of California so frequently. So that's something that we're not used to hearing. It's 1225 at KSRO. I'm Pat Carrigan. We are here with Supervisor Shirley Zane and Santa Rosa Mayor Tom Schwedhelm talking about the Sonoma County effects of the coronavirus and those effects moving forward. I know you are both well-versed in this subject. What about the risk of mass transit at this stage of the game? Mass transit really on any level that affects us.
From the city perspective, just with the city perspective, we're following those same guidelines. It all comes out from the public health professionals.
Yeah,
whatever
they're in charge.
Whatever they're advising us, we're doing what they're saying. We're not questioning it. We're just following lockstep exactly what they're telling us to do.
And I know, Supervisor Zane, you certainly can answer that with regard to the smart system.
Sure, being on the smart board, there's obviously a higher level of risk when you take public transit in terms of the spreading of germs. And so the staff of SMART, and I know BART as well, you know, they have all kinds of mandates now in terms of cleaning the trains and whatnot. But what we're seeing is that there's been a 30 to 50% drop in utilizing public transit right now. And that's probably a very good thing, given the fact that, you know, you get on a train, you grab the bar.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you fall into somebody's lap. And that is a very easy way of spreading germs. I wanted to also say that as of today, this morning, an unofficial account, we have 33 out of 58 counties that have now declared emergency health health emergencies. So, and that's an important to acknowledge that, because we have 58 counties in this state, and the majority of the counties have declared health emergencies. And I'm glad to see that we have state representatives that are all over this too, in terms of some of the legislation and then what's coming down from Governor Newsom's office, which is really, really helpful. I think that one of the things that I'm concerned about is food depravity in this situation, in terms of families that are really needing the WIC or
program,
needing the
yeah.
food banks. Yeah, the food banks.
Meals on Wheels.
All of those. The EBT for the school meals programs. So one of the things that we obviously have to address right now as public officials is how we're going to make sure that all of those people that depend upon those sources to supplement their food and their nutrition are going to continue to get that food and nutrition. We have a lot. I think we have how many, Tom, in the Santa Rosa School District kids?
Well, who rely on those school lunches and
yes,
meals?
School lunches, right.
And we've been talking with them. You know, I had a brief conversation yesterday with Dr. Chong from the JC, just seeing how we can collaborate mm-hmm. together. And my understanding, right. I know at least one private school is canceling school through the for at least the next 2 weeks, and we're anticipating some announcements coming out of the Santa Rosa City Schools in the very near future.
Yep, very near future, as in later today. And by the way, we will have Dr. Steve Harrington, the head of the Sonoma County Office of Education, here on the air with us live tomorrow at the same time, right around noon. It is 1229 at KSRO, and obviously schools, a huge, huge portion of your constituency, constituencies, and again, the parents' ability to care for those kids, the parents' necessity of caring for those kids if no child care is available, and themselves not be able to be present at work. This is going to be one of those. I really think it's more of a dominoes falling as opposed to a ripple effect, because a ripple effect is a little bit more gentle than this.
But
talk about the kinds of changes that this community may well end up facing.
I think we're going to see a drastic cut in services, because parents will not have child care. And for a lot of parents, the public schools are their primary source of child care. So we have schools closed, but we have workers that we need to get to work, especially those public health and safety workers for the city and the county. That's going to be an issue. I was actually just thinking about some things that we did during the fires last night. We did some pop-up daycare centers, and we might need to talk to our partners at First Five and also the Santa Rosa School District and Sonoma County Office of Education about if we can somehow or other do something like that for our employees, such as the city and the county employees, that we absolutely need them to go to work. Because they're healthcare employees, they're health and human service employees, and because there is, as you mentioned, that whole ripple effect through our whole community when those people can't show up for work. And that I said that, but I also want to continue to use the word that's been used by John Hopkins and other public officials, which is disruptive. We've got to be disruptive in terms of how we do business right now in order to make sure that this disease does not spread and be preemptive. but I do think that we need to talk with our city officials, the county and the city, and our healthcare and our state officials about how we're going to provide essential daycare for people who absolutely need to show up for work.
You know, and for me, as I mentioned earlier, we've been in communication with city school staff. I've sent some communication to the elected level, but I know our city staff have been talking with San Jose City School staff. So for every action, there's going to be a reaction.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, that constant communication and building the relationships that we have in this county, where I understand if you're going to do that, okay, what are the unanticipated consequences of that?
Like, and they're far-reaching, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, this is not all mapped out. So we're almost doing this on the fly. So if you're going to close schools down, what can we do to support the parents, the teachers, the students as we're going through this? We're all in this thing together.
Yeah, so and we thought we were pretty well versed in emergent situations, and we had pretty thorough experience in same, and this is a brand new day.
That's what we had talked to the city. Yeah. I think we're right now operating under five different emergencies, you know, Kincaid Fire, Tubbs Fire, climate emergency, homeless emergency, and now a, you know, COVID-19 emergency. So I don't want to say we're ever getting used to this, but we are being more efficient and effective the way we respond to these, because it's not totally new to us.
No question about that. And I would like to ask Supervisor Zane and Mayor Tom Schwedhelm about what is the information that you are expecting next, and from whom? And let's start there.
For me, and I did just get off the phone with our county administrator and our director of health services right before I got on this call.
Very good.
For me, it's all about the testing and whether the disease is spreading in the community and how we're going to contain that when we do find that out. So that's really the critical information. But also, it's all about mitigation, too. Every time we do an action, there's got to be some mitigation, such as the daycare situation with our employees that we absolutely have to depend upon to come to their jobs. So I think it's the constant flow of information. It's transparency with the public, and it's also being calm and being and exercising leadership in terms of providing information, but asking people to work with us, work with their neighbor and their community as we move forward in terms of instructions, and just expect that there will be major disruptions in our community for the next few weeks. Just expect it. It's already here.
And I would really hope people would, a lot of information is out there, and take it upon their own responsibility of obtaining that information, get it from the right sources.
Yeah, please be careful where you get your information.
City of Santa Rosa website, county website, the state website. Don't rely on social media, because sometimes that just whips up a, you know.
Yeah, I've seen some information on social media that I thought, surely nobody can believe that, but they do.
But they do. But trust me, as my role as mayor, some of the questions that I get and the criticism I get, it's based on something that someone has seen on social media, not an official website.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been very consistent working with the county and the other jurisdictions in the state to be consistent throughout this whole situation. So
very important.
Keep people informed on the appropriate websites, not social media websites that spins it sometimes different ways than it should be.
Yep.
Yes, and
if you need resources or information for services, you can call 211. But in terms of information, local information, you can go to socoemergency.org. You can go to the county website, to go to the city website. And there is frequently asked questions on all of those websites as well. And those are being constantly updated. So get your information from a trusted source. Don't go on social media and be a part of some of the rumor spreading that is not accurate. And the CDC has got a great website also, the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention. You should go to that website if you have more questions that we can always supply.
I'll throw in that you can also go to KSRO.com, because we are committed to being here through this particular disaster. Okay, so moving forward, from this point on, number one, we are expecting a press release from the Office of Education later today. And as Supervisor Zane said, we fully expect that press release to contain the fact that schools will be closed in Sonoma County for at least an additional week beyond spring break. So for the next 2 weeks. So that's something to think about moving forward. And also that we are expecting more information from the public health director about the results of this expanded testing in Sonoma County. And as you said, Supervisor Zane, that the access to those tests, maybe in a drive-through capacity, are scheduled to increase as well.
Yes, absolutely. And because, and part of that also is that we now have local commercial laboratories that are assisting us so that we can get the results of those tests back as soon as possible.
Yeah. Because the once, you know, if we do indeed, which is expected, have evidence of that community spread, then that changes everything yet again. So we are anticipating that to be the case also.
And if you do have somebody in your life, which we all do, of people who are seniors and have underlying medical conditions, such as heart disease, diabetes, some type of compromised immune system, pay close attention to those people right now. We all need to be more loving and kind when we face these types of
It's
of,
not
of
easy when you
situation.
Can't touch anybody, Shirley. It's not easy.
Are you kidding me? I'm a very touchy person.
I know.
It's awful. I know. It's like I did a little video the other day for our seniors just to kind of reassure them. And I had this little fluffy white puppy on my desk that somebody gave me after my West Highland Terrier died. And I just wanted to grab that puppy and hold that puppy when I gave that,
yes.
that video. It's like, yeah, you do. There's that natural human desire
yes.
to want to be held and to hold.
Yeah, you just have to be maybe a little more diplomatic about who you decide to engage in that with, I suppose. Mayor Schwedhelm, your final thoughts?
Yeah. It's just, I just want all your listeners to be assured that the city is working 24/7, 7 days a week on this.
Yep.
I know we have staff that are checking for latest updates here, and we're in this planning, preparing phase. So things are... things have changed, and we are reacting appropriately. We're taking that common sense approach, so just rest assured that the information is there. We're gathering it, and we're trying to push it out as quickly as we can.
Very good. Very good. And I think we would all agree that preparedness over panic is the order of the day.
Yeah,
well
that's
said.
It. And we have a 24/7 emergency operations center that is handling information via the state emergency operations and via the feds, too. So that is open 24/7. And we're working, of course, very closely with the cities.
Very good. And I want to say I appreciate both of your accessibility and availability to KSRO today and certainly in the many weeks to come. Thank you, Mayor Tom Schwedhelm and Supervisor Shirley Zane for being here today.
Thank you for having this.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks, Tom, too.
And we will be back tomorrow at noon with another update here on KSRO, scheduled for tomorrow, Dr. Sundari Mays, and also the public health officer, also Dr. Steve Harrington, the head of the Sonoma County Office of Education. There may be other guests. This is a very fluid circumstance. Visit KSRO.com for all the latest information and download the brand new KSRO app. You can get it at the App Store or Google Play for the latest local coronavirus information, and we will post the interviews that just took place from noon until right now, in case you missed any portion of that. And this is Pat Kerrigan along with Mike DeWald signing off for now. We'll be back as necessary and count on us to be here tomorrow at noon. In the meantime, take a deep breath. In fact, take several of them if you can. And if you need a little respite, a little levity, a little heartwarming, I would encourage you to watch the videos of the Italian neighbors confined to their homes for many, many days now, and stepping out onto their balconies and singing to each other. Quite inspirational. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. This is KSRO.
This has been a breaking news update on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Now back to regular programming already in progress.
Sanders.